good, very good. Matthew chapter 6. Find Matthew chapter 6. We will take off where we left off last week. And get into this mess, the subject of how to pray when you pray. I was interested in Brother Andrew's prayer there. Brother Andrew, you know bad weather's coming. He's plugged into something that you and I don't have, amen, because although every weather app is calling for it, do we really know bad weather is coming? Huh? We don't really know that. I mean, you know, they're just, that's faith or fate. What did you say? That's fate. Okay. It sure looks like it this time, but who knows? Who knows? All right. Let us pray, since we're going to talk about how to pray when you pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, it's been just wonderful for these first 10 days. Not long, but it's just been wonderful to emphasize this matter of prayer. We don't want to fumble the ball with it. We want to go throughout this year emphasizing the theme of when you pray. Help us tonight. Just a, Lord, very simple lesson, nothing new. Just, Lord, to get it nailed down again. That you taught us how to pray. And I pray that you'll help me tonight, this short time, Lord, to be a blessing. In Jesus' name. And amen. Now we'll get to the verses in just a moment. In the front of your prayer booklet, there is an introduction to the theme for this year and a little bit of how to use the booklet to help implement the theme. And that's, folks, that is what we're hoping. We're hoping that, now I hope you've implemented the theme when you pray to some degree in your home. There are still a few prayer booklets left on the table there if you haven't picked one up yet. Also, lots of calendars for the year, but be sure and pick up one of those prayer booklets. Part of the introduction is given over to an outline of the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Now, that model prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6. It's also found in Luke chapter 11. As implied, if you've read the introduction to the prayer booklet, as implied in the introduction, this is not a prayer to be memorized and just numbly repeated day after day. That would be vain repetition. We talked about that last Wednesday night. Jesus condemned vain repetition in verse 7. Emphasize again, he did not condemn repetition. He condemned vain repetition. Now, I don't know how many times I have prayed today, God, please touch Paula Medlin's body. I don't think that's vain repetition. There's heart behind that. There's burden behind that, okay? So, but if you just repeat this like the game, you know, at the football game when in the huddle or the basketball huddle, and you just go through this to say words, that's vain repetition. Now, the model prayer can be used as an outline to help us pray for the things that Jesus said were important in our lives. I emphasize that because in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus gave the prayer in response to the disciples' request, Lord, teach us to pray. Now they had just observed Jesus praying, and they went to him and they said, teach us to pray. And so on the heels of that request, Jesus said, when ye pray, say. And he went into the model prayer. So if they say, teach us to pray, and this is how Jesus responds, then you have to understand and you have to believe by faith that these must be the things that he believes God's people need to give some attention to. Does that make sense? And maybe it's not wrong to repeat the, because he said, when ye pray, say. So maybe it's not wrong to say the model prayer as long as you pray it with sincerity, and hopefully that's not the end of your, just say the model prayer and be done. Okay, you can do much more by using the model prayer as an outline. Now, we've already talked about the fact that Jesus expects us to pray. He used the words more than once, I think 5 times. I told you, when you pray. So there's expectation, but we know also that Jesus expects us to pray daily because of verse number 11. Look at it. Give us this day our daily bread. So there you have. This is something Jesus expects us to give attention to on a daily basis. All right? So this day we're going to pray for our daily bread. Okay, now, the things that are covered then in this prayer are matters of daily importance for a child of God. This prayer covers areas that Jesus knows His people, God's people, need to and should want to talk to God about on a regular basis. All right? So we're going to just break it down here. We're only going to take just a short portion of it tonight, beginning in verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, here in pray ye. He didn't say in Matthew's gospel, say these exact words. After this manner, pray ye therefore. Okay? Therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven. Let's stop right there. It dawned on me, look, just getting ready for this a few days ago. In fact, the end of last week. Jesus is more than willing to share his Father with us. You see what he said? Our Father. Our. That puts us in the same territory as who? Jesus Christ. Our Father. You know, many times in his public ministry, Jesus addressed God in prayer while on earth with the name Father, and Jesus taught us to address God in the same way, with the same name. There is complete unselfishness on Jesus' part for you and me to have a great relationship with the Father. Now, it puts us, I wouldn't say it puts us on level ground, because the big difference is that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, okay? But we are sons of God, and he taught us to pray Our Father, okay? Now, the opening of our prayer should remind us to whom we are speaking, okay? Now, many times people will pray, Dear God. There's nothing, I didn't pay attention tonight to how somebody started their prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. Dear God, nothing wrong with that. But God is a triune being. And the Father is one manifestation of the Godhead. Now, it's certain that addressing God, if you stop and say, Dear God, if you stop and say, Dear Lord God, Dear God in heaven, I don't think that gets you into trouble. I remember John Rice, either in a book I read this or I heard him personally say it, I can't remember which, but he was talking, he was somewhere in a crusade, and he prayed, and just in his prayer, he prayed to the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father, through the Father, and closed it out by saying in Jesus' name or in God's name or something. And he said after the service, some lady came up to him, and he said, I could see her coming, and her earbobs were swinging back and forth. And he said, he turned to somebody and said, Here she comes, boys. But anyway, she let him have it. Dr. Rice, what a terrible example of prayer tonight. You prayed to the Holy Spirit in the name of God through Jesus. That is not how you pray. You're supposed to pray in the Spirit to the Father in the name of the Son. And John Rice said, Lady, when you're a member of the family, you can talk to all of them. I don't think there's a wrong way to address God in prayer as long as you are sincere. But you know what this is, folks? This is not emergency praying, which is what most people do. This is devotional praying. This is worship praying. And Jesus taught us to address God by the name Father. Addressing him as Father should help us realize to whom we are speaking. Most of us are aware of the earthly benefits that come with being able to speak to our earthly Father. There's benefits there, okay? Well, the same is true as far as spiritual benefits go in being able to speak to our Father in heaven, our heavenly Father. Praying is a benefit that we enjoy. And it becomes very personal by using the salutation, Our Father. Okay, I don't know if you have to, Our Father which art in heaven. I think you have to say those exact words. But Our Father in heaven, our heavenly Father. You know, daddy is a noun used mainly by younger children when they're addressing their earthly dad. Dad is used by older kids. Both are terms of affection. Father is not only used as a term of affection, it's a term of respect. It's a term of honor. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, children, obey your parents. But then he goes on to say in verse number 2, honor thy father. Father is a term that denotes accountability. It's a term that speaks of security and stability. Father, earthly dad, earthly father is all of those things to us. If we have an involved person in our lives, our dad, our father, whom we love and who we respect, he is all of those things to us. I think I told you this may sound a little funny, but toward the end of my dad's life, before he got real bad with Alzheimer's, before his mind started to go, he was really concerned about the mortgage we took on for the building across the parking lot. And almost every time I called Dad, talked to him, which was weekly, at least weekly, maybe sometimes more than weekly. And, of course, living down in Florida at the time. And he would always say, how's your mortgage? Are you paying the mortgage? How's the mortgage going? How's the mortgage? And, there for a while, you remember we closed that mortgage in January of 08, and then the bottom fell out of the economy at the end of 08, and the bottom fell out of our offerings, and yet we somehow never missed a payment, never missed a mortgage payment, $10,000 a month. And then People's Bank refinanced for us. I think they just dropped the interest rate for us, and they were very kind to us. But Dad always said, Terry, how's the mortgage? How's the mortgage? It was constant. In March of 19, when we paid that off, Dad was already in heaven, and I drove to the cemetery out there north of the house where he's buried, and I walked to the grave. You may think it's funny or weird, but that's okay. I walked to the grave, and I just said, well, Dad, if you can hear me, it's done. It's done. And I had to cry a little bit, got a little emotional just thinking about Dad. He was concerned. Yeah, he was concerned. There is a blessing having an involved father in your life here on earth, isn't it? Now, here's the good part. If you missed out on the advantage of having an involved father on earth, once you are saved, you have one in heaven. You have one in heaven. And he's your father. Your father. And in no less way than your earthly father. I mean, just beyond that, okay? And so, and by the way, that's another reason for us, as you go to prayer, devotional praying, as you go to prayer for devotional praying, to pause for a moment when we start the prayer time, when we're coming to God, and starting that time of prayer, not only who we're talking to, but where this Father resides. Isn't it interesting that he taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. You get our minds on where God, our Father, resides. The Father resides far above all that we know or have on this planet. The Father is high and lifted up. He's the King of glory in the book of Hebrews. We are encouraged to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, you know what that means, folks? Coming to the throne means that we're going above, we're going beyond the highest mountain peak. We are going past the stars and the constellations. We're going above and beyond all of that. We're accessing the very dwelling place of God who resides in heaven. What a blessing that we have the opportunity to talk to our Father who sits high and lifted up above all that we know here on earth. Now you say, wait a minute, just last week, you talked about God being omnipresent. And the Bible says that he fills heaven and earth. And when we go into our secret place, he's there. Because the Bible says, your Father which is in secret. And yes, that's true, folks. But his home address is heaven. That's his home address. All right? That's where he resides. And think about this. What a perspective our Father must have. What a view of life here on earth. He's that high and lifted up one. And when we pray, we are transcending all that we know on this plane, this horizontal plane. And we are accessing the presence of the one who is on this vertical plane. And yet, as high and lifted up as he is, as magnificent, we get to address him by the salutation, Father. That's a very special relationship to the God of creation. Very special. Now, we know he's God, And he's God Almighty, and he's Jehovah, and he's Creator, and he's Sustainer, and he's the Rock, and he's the I Am, and the Judge. We understand. On and on we could go, the names of God all through the Bible. But when we need something, when we talk to him, when we need to spend that time in devotional praying, we don't address him by the term Creator. We don't address him by the term Judge or the salutation of Jehovah. We call him Father. That's pretty cool. That's real good. That's real good. I've never had a relationship with anybody on earth here who is a judge. And I guess in some ways that's good. That's a positive thing. Mr. Trump right now has a relationship with several of them, doesn't he? I don't think talked personally to a judge. I've never spoken to, I'll talk in a minute about probably the politician that I talked to that was the highest ranked politician. But you know, I have talked to a father here on earth. I know a little bit of what that relationship means. And I get to call him Father. That's pretty impressive. That's a lot of grace, isn't it? That's a lot of grace. Okay. Now, secondly, so we start with our God, our Father which art in heaven. And then he said, he continued on, hallowed be thy name. So not only should we come to God as our Father in heaven, but we should also take just a moment to recognize his nature of holiness. That's what hallowed, you're not talking to some big guy in the sky. Amen? No. Hallowed means consecrated. Hallowed means set apart. Hallowed means holy. And as we come to talk with our Heavenly Father, I think it's just good to just, it's just good to stop and recognize who he is, where he is, and what he is, especially in the area of holiness. You know, I don't know how you start, but in devotional prayer, I'm not talking about folks stopping in the middle of the day and just saying a quick prayer for a church member or somebody in need. I'm talking about devotional praying. Are we on the same page tonight? Devotional praying. Okay. I like to pause. I like to just pause and just think about it. Through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm entering into the very throne room of heaven. And that's kind of like, we have access, we have privilege, we have relationship, but we should never, ever take a less than reverent approach to God in prayer. Hallowed be thy name. And you know, the position of our heart is important. I think kneeling is appropriate. There are places where they knelt in the Bible. So you read Solomon's prayer. He knelt. He lifted up his eyes and raised his hands. He didn't fold his hands and close his eyes. He lifted his head and raised his hands in the air. But I think kneeling is appropriate. But if you're not physically able to kneel, I never will forget how bad I felt. This is some of the old timers here, Leonard and Laverne Harper, the black couple that sat right back, came from Sun River Terrace and visited one Sunday, and I went out to see him, and Laverne gave a wonderful testimony of salvation. Leonard was not saved, and I witnessed to him on the couch in their little house out there in Sun River Terrace. And he said, yes, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I said, okay, let's get on our knees here beside this couch. I didn't realize that he was in need of two knee replacements. But he got down on his knees beside that couch in a little trouble. If you're not physically able to kneel, I felt terrible. If you're not physically able to kneel, you can kneel in your attitude. I'm convinced it's not the position of your body that's so important, it's the position of your heart. Our Father in heaven is seated in the throne room. At his right hand is Jesus Christ. And when we go to him in prayer, we enter his throne room. The throne room of his presence. And remember what's going on in that throne room? Remember? So in the year King Uzziah dies, Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah looks into the very throne where he sees the Lord's high and lifted up on the throne. And then 800 years later, Apostle John's on the Isle of Patmos, and the throne room is opened again. And Isaiah and John see the very same thing and hear the very same thing. They see those winged creatures flying around singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And John said in Revelation chapter 1, they rest not day and night. That's round the clock. Which leads me to believe that that was probably being sung for all 800 years from Isaiah to John, and probably preceding at the very beginning of the angelic creation, which Lucifer may very well have been the lead angel in the praise and worship of God. The holy, holy, holy. And we're going, I don't think we go into that kind of atmosphere with a cavalier attitude. "Well, God, I came to talk to you today." I think it's Jesus teaches to pray. Okay. When you pray, pray after this manner: "Our Father." You get to call him Father. But don't forget where he is. And don't forget who he is. "Hallowed be thy name." I understand, said before, we can stop at any time, in any place, and go right to God with our prayer. There's examples of that in the Bible, over and over again. In the middle of the day, middle of whatever, the night, whatever, okay? The praying that Jesus taught us to pray in these verses, again, is, I believe, what's called devotional praying. It's the kind of praying we should do on a daily basis. It's not emergency praying. That emergency praying is good. If you need to do it, thank God you have access. Amen? But if that's the only kind of praying we're doing, folks, we're missing out. This is devotional praying, and devotional praying, it does us a world of good to recognize that even though we have the privilege of addressing God as our Father, he is not some run-of-the-mill person we talk to on earth. He is God, whose nature is intrinsically holy. God did not become holy. We are told, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Understand that? Intrinsic means part of the nature. It's not part of our nature. It's part of what the Holy Spirit works and builds and grows into us after we get saved. But brother, God's already there. God's already there. And truth of the matter is, his holiness is probably the most important attribute of his entire character, nature. Keeps everything else in check. And I remember that, I think I told you before about that one time I went to Bible, and I don't mean to just play this down, but it's just proof of how little we think about the truth that God is holy. But I took the marker in Bible class in 208, and I wrote the words, "God is." And then we passed out sheets of paper and said, "Fill in the blank." And I forget how many kids were in school back then. And that one word, "Fill in the blank." And they filled in the blank. They just put a word on the paper, no name, no grade. And so I took all the papers and I began to, "God is powerful." I wrote that up there. "And God is wisdom." And I wrote wisdom. "And God is all knowledge." And put that. "And all God is love." "And God is peace." "And God is faithful." And some of them were repeats. And so I'd like little tick marks underneath the ones that were repeats. And we got all the way through. Guess which attribute was never mentioned? Holy. We don't think for some reason. But I don't want to say before, but as much as God is love, he is holy. And Jesus, at the beginning of devotional praying, says, "Hey, stop, pause just a moment. In your salutation, in your coming to God, pause just a moment and recognize where he is and who he is. And he is what he is. He is holy. You're not speaking to the President of the United States. You're speaking to someone far beyond that. You're not speaking to some other world leader or national person of importance. You're not speaking to the CTO of some Fortune 500 company. I remember when they had a project out in Washington, D.C., and Chuck Harding headed it up, and they sent a particular Bible. We contributed money to it, and then Brother Woodward, myself, and I forget who else was with us. We flew a bunch of pastors, went to Washington, and Chuck Harding, whatever ministry it was, they sent a specific Bible. I want to say it was the Geneva Bible. They sent a Geneva Bible to all 435 House of Representative people. They sent it to all 50 senators. They mailed a Geneva Bible. And we went out there and made appointments to see those people, the representatives and the senators, and tell them we are the ones that the group we work with provided the Bible, and hopefully have a little chat with them. Brother Woodward and I, there were very few pastors from Illinois there. Brother Woodward and I visited, I think, every representative from the state of Illinois. I'm talking about all the liberal Democrats from Chicago, Bobby Rush, Luis Gutierrez. I mean, liberal guys. And we also had an appointment with, I forget who the other senator was then, but the senator with all the recognition and the rank was Durbin. Still is there. When you go to D.C., there are three buildings where the House of Representatives offices are located. It's called the Rayburn Building, the Cannon Building, and the Longworth Building. There are three buildings that house the senator's office. It's the Russell Building, the Dirksen Building, and the Hart Building. That's where most of the representatives and most of the senators have their offices. But the leadership, the Nancy Pelosi's and the McCarthy's and the Dick Durbin's, who at that time was the minority leader in the Senate, second in command. Okay, I forget who was the first, who was there. It was a Republican, but I forget who it was. But Durbin was the second gyrastakutis in the Senate. And so you go to that office. Now, all those other offices are in hallways in those buildings, just one office after the other. But you go to those offices on Capitol Hill, and there's more security, and they're exquisite. I mean, the offices of your representatives and your senators that aren't in leadership positions, they're kind of just plain Jane offices, really. But you go to Durbin's office, he's a minority leader. And, buddy, he's a politician. We went in there, and he had the Bible on his desk, and we sat down. He shook hands, you know, and we explained about the Bible and what we were and everything, and we were talking. I remember I said to him, I said, Senator, every so often you're on the prayer list at our church, something like that. And I said, I know we don't agree on a lot of things, but we pray for you. And he said, well, that probably means you pray for me a lot. That's what he said. And he's a politician, and had our picture taken with him and everything, and he was, rushing us out, and he did his 3-minute interview or whatever, and that's probably as far as rank and notoriety, that's probably the highest ranking person I've ever spoken to here in the United States of America. Brother Bragg, remember, the Israeli defense minister, Moshe Yaalon, am I saying that properly? And Brother Vineyard gave us his phone, his cell phone. I had the Israeli defense minister's cell phone number in my cell phone. And he called one day and he said, Terry, I want you to call Moshe and tell him that your church is going to just stand in for Israel. And I said, okay. So I called the number. Hello? The defense minister of Israel picked up the phone. He's on the other end of the line. I'm talking to the defense minister. And when it comes to people outside the United, inside the United States, maybe when it comes to notoriety, Dick Durbin, outside the United States, I never talked to Tony Blair or, Merkel over in Germany, but I did talk to Moshe Elon personally. As a feather in my cap, right? Hey, there's no place of importance like the throne room of heaven. Right. Not even close. Not even close. And that's because of the one who resides there. For me, it's humbling. I don't just barge into prayer to finish my Bible reading, close it. Okay, dear God, No. Close the Bible. Just kind of quiet. I want to think about who I'm about to speak to. Does that make sense? Kind of what Jesus taught us to do here. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And sometimes I'll even use the words, just like Jesus taught. They're not empty. And I really believe that when we take a moment to think about whose presence we're going into, to whom we are speaking, where he is, and what he is, this happens to us. And that's a good thing, folks, because you know what God does for the humble? He gives grace. He gives grace to the humble. So this is what Jesus started off with. This is when these disciples said, teach us how to pray. What do we say? Teach us what to do. He said, okay, let me show you. Let me tell you what to do. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What a privilege, what a blessing. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight. Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. I pray, oh God, that you'll use the theme this year in our church to draw us closer to you, to have a more personal experience in prayer time, to not just be one of those emergency prayers. Thank you that we have that privilege when we need to. But Lord, to be that worshipful prayer, that devotional prayer that prays after the manner that Jesus taught us. What a privilege. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a brief invitation time if you want to step out tonight. I hope you'll nail it down, folks. I hope that you'll get that booklet. You don't need the booklet, but maybe the booklet will just help you nail it down. That devotional prayer time. We don't want to be that Christian, that child that only calls on God when we need something. And it's very interesting about this prayer. Next Wednesday night, we'll get into it a little bit. Very interesting about how this prayer begins. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him. Take a little time tomorrow morning at your prayer time, whenever it is, in the car, going to work, or at the house before you leave, or after the kids are in school. And take a minute and pause. And reflect about your Father you're about to speak to, where he is, what he is, who he is. And spend that time that's so valuable.